It is good to be here tonight. I'm so glad to be back to church. I'm excited. I'm stirred as I can be for the Lord. I'm gonna try to hold this thing down just a tad, okay? And really teach a lot. But I know I got so much exciting stuff. I may get off that real quick. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, just go somewhere and. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll probably dive into 1 Thessalonians. Now, the first week we talked about what a premillennialist was, and I know we got a lot of new people, okay? And I understand that. And you may not be as informed on theological words, but that's what church is about, to teach you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with you not knowing.
Right.
What would be wrong is you stay not knowing.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Because if you go outside this kind of church's doors, you're apt to not get what I teach you here. I mean, the Church of God don't believe what we believe. They don't even believe in a millennium. There are millennials. The Nazarenes believe... And I'm going to say every Nazarene. Nazarene believe he comes the first time and he comes back the second time. And they leave a lot of voids. They don't teach a rapture. And I'm not saying all of them don't. I'm just saying the most don't. And then you just go down to denomination. They just don't teach the Bible and eschatology. And that really blows my mind. I'll tell you what blows my mind. And I may be wrong. And if I am, correct me, Chad, okay? Because I could be wrong on this next statement. I possibly could. But I do know the study of Revelation that you are promised a blessing if you hear and heed what is in the book of Revelation. And like it says anywhere else in the Bible. And the book of Revelation is a book of future things. After you get past chapter number 3, it's all future. That'll excite you. I was thinking about you singing that going home. Do me a favor right now. Just do me a favor. Let's kind of ease into this. Do me a favor. Blink your eyes. Blink them. That took you 11 hundredths of a second. That's how quick. It'll be that you can leave here and be up there in a twinkling of an eye. And I want all y'all to know something, so you really be plain about that. There's not one sign has to be fulfilled for the Lord to come at the rapture. Not one. Every sign in the Bible is for the second coming of Christ, not the rapture of the church. If I could get this across to people's mind, the rapture is a mystery. Right? And I'm going to read that tonight. But the church is a mystery. You can't go in the Old Testament and find the church. You might see it in type. You may see it some in the Song of Solomon in type. But you can't see it because it's not there. Because my people in the Old Testament, especially in Daniel's 70 week of prophecy, was Israel. So the church is a mystery. And the rapture of the church is a mystery. It's not for the Jew. Unless you're a saved Jew. Somebody help me preach. If you're a saved Jew, you're going up when I go up. Because you're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the bride. Somebody help me preach. Let's look at the passage. Just go to the Bible. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16. And what I think I'm going to do one Wednesday is stop and let y'all absorb it and then ask me questions. Would that be all right? I'm going to give you a big dose. Now, I've done told you about premillennialism, amillennialism, and postmillennialism. I explained that to you. Tonight, I'll be talking about pre-tribulation rapture. I am a premillennialist and a pre-tribulation rapture. Now, what that means is the second coming comes before the millennial reign, and the rapture comes before the tribulation period. And he takes us up in the air before the tribulation period to bring us back at the revelation. Amen? Boy, that's good stuff. Now let's look at this great passage. Let's look at verse number 50. Are you there? Say amen. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. What that means is if you die tonight, your body, your flesh, will be put in a coffin, or you'll be cremated, or you'll be put in a tomb. I don't know how you're going to do it. For me, I'm going in a coffin if they got one big enough to fit me. Amen. But flesh and blood, this body here, hey, this body here can't go yet. Let me explain why it can't go yet. Boy, time out. Go to Romans 8. This may be... See, what happens to me is I get going, brother, preacher. Zach, I get going, then boom, everything hits my head. Let me explain to you. Go to Romans 8 for a minute. Is it okay just to teach tonight? I know I'm going to preach some because I can feel it coming. The Bible says in verse 16, I'll go down to a few verses. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so, being that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now listen, look at verse 19, awesome verse. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Therefore the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, or the earnest of the Spirit. That's the down payment God gave you when you got saved. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit. Listen. What is it? What is the adoption to wit? The redemption of our body. I have been redeemed on the inside once and for all. That means I'm eternally secure. That means I'm saved forever. That means you can't lose what you got. Because we had the down payment. But our redemption's not finished. Let me say this. Don't die on me here. Don't die. Don't get old. Go, don't lose your breath. Your salvation's not finished. Now, inwardly, it's done, Chad. And it's guaranteed me the outward will be done. But we have an experience. We're kept by the power of God, right? Unto salvation, which will what? Be revealed. What do you mean by that? The salvation is not talking about the salvation of the soul. You done it when you place faith in Christ. The salvation he's talking about that is the salvation of the body. This body's going to be saved one day. It'll happen at the rapture. Amen. Is that good? Yes, man, I tell you, I'm excited about my own preaching tonight. I really am. I know I'm, here's what happens when you're a teacher. You hit something, then the Holy Ghost says, stop, explain. How many of y'all understand what I'm, just, you with me? Let's go back to the 1 Corinthians 15. Ooh. Behold, I show you a mystery, okay? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? What that means is not every person that was born will have to face death. We may be the generation that won't have to die. We may be like Enoch, who walked with God for, 300 years? Correct me if I'm wrong, three something. He walked with God, and the Bible said he was not. One of these days, we're going to be a was not. Somebody ought to get excited about that. This is what we got. A was not. You heard of astronauts? We're going to be was nots. There's two people in the Old Testament didn't die. Enoch and Elijah. And I really believe this. Elijah's going to be back one day in the future. Now, we already know he was back on the Mount of Transfiguration. But I think he's going to be one of the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. Woo! Y'all still with me? In a moment, here it is. I had you blink your eyes a moment. Here it is in the Bible. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. A lot of people get confused by that. Tonight, you'll probably get over your confusion when I explain. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And O grave, where is thy victory? Or thy sting? And O grave, where is thy, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Listen to this. You ought to shout. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're told to therefore, in light of us going up in the rapture, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All right, you with my PowerPoint? We ready? Go with me to the definition of the rapture. Would you do that? We got the rapture is an event of comfort. All right, thank you. Now, you may or not be able. No, that's not where I want you to start. You're not in the right place. It should be right behind the first page that says the rapture is an event of comfort. You got me up there? There it is. Thank you. All right. Let's look what. Now, let me make a statement. Jeff, tell me. Anybody here, tell me. If I'm correct or not, the word rapture itself, that word, is not in the Bible. It does not mean that there's not going to be one, but the word itself is not in there. But let me explain. The phrase comes from a Greek word, harpazo, and the Latin raptus, meaning to be catch up or snatch away. In this passage of scripture, it says, and in 1 Thessalonians 4, we are going to be snatched out of here. There's something in us that connects with something in heaven. And that's the nature of God. And when God comes back after his Holy Spirit, somebody help me preach. Can I give you another something here to me? I had another pit stop. I can't help it. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. I just want to show you everything I can show you tonight. And y'all just stay with me. And verse number 3, and I'll read down through until I get where I need to be at, okay? Let no man deceive you. Are you there? 2 Thessalonians 2, say amen. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Hey, the day of the Lord or the millennial reign or the tribulation will not start until the son of perdition is revealed. That's the Antichrist. Amen. Who opposes and exalted himself, all that is which is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God said in the temple of God, and we'll explain that a little later, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The spirit of the Antichrist here right now. Somebody say amen. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then it said, then shall that wicked be revealed. So who is it that's restraining him from coming? There's somebody restraining him, stopping him. He can't come until that restrainer leaves. And that restrainer's name is the Holy Spirit. And that restrainer is in you. So here's what has to happen. You got to get out of here for the Antichrist to appear. That makes sense? Am I helping you? I know I'm going slow, but I think we ought to go slow. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. This is where I'm going to be really sweet, a little different than, well, not really, but I'm going to try to be. Now, go to the next slide for me. I got a little star by this one. And by the way, if you want this set of PowerPoints, I'll give it to everybody. I already got people online been listening to me. A lady in Winfield called me and said, messaged me and said, can you get us this PowerPoint? You want it? I'll get it to you too. And I'll get you other materials. I just want you to be informed. Now, let me make a statement. The truth of the rapture is non-negotiable tenet of the faith, not negotiated. There's going to be a rapture, Chad. Okay? There's going to be a rapture. I know the Church of God said no rapture. No rapture. I know this faith said no rapture. But there's going to be a rapture. No. That's not even a debate. It's non-negotiable. Now listen to this carefully. Y'all with me? The timing of the rapture is where the debate is. Now, I want to say this. I have some friends that are mid-tribulation raptures. They're good people, but they're wrong. But I can still fellowship with them. I have some friends that are post-tribulation. I'll explain that in a moment. Raptures. I still can fellowship with them. Now, I'll debate them. My fellowship doesn't rest on the timing. My fellowship does rest on whether there is one or not. Because you say they're not one, then you're denying the Bible. But I'm not going to. They're wrong and I'm right, but I'm not going to break fellowship with them because they are wrong. Is that all right? And you can have some good, healthy debate about it. And I don't mind that. I'm not afraid of debate. I'm not afraid of the truth. I really believe I can explain my position and our position on the scriptures without much debate. I'll show you. Let me go on. Now, there's 5 views on the time of the rapture. Now, I've got 20 minutes. I may finish this part of the lesson. I don't know if I'll get to our view completely, but I'll tell you our view on the first. But let me give you the 5 views so you'll know what goes on in Christendom. There's a view called post-tribulation. Let me explain. That view teaches this. Brother Zach, it teaches that the church goes all the way through the tribulation period. And here's what happens. The second coming and the rapture is kind of synonymous. And here's what the post-tribulation rapture believe. They believe the church goes up in the air, meets Christ in the air, and then comes straight back to the earth. That's what they believe. And the church goes through the tribulation period.
That's nuts.
It is. But that's what they believe. But I'm going to refute every one of them. I'm going to show y'all. Is that all right? I want y'all to know for sure what you believe. Then there's what they call the mid-tribulation rapture. That means the rapture occurs during the tribulation at the halfway point or the seven-year period. Now, what they teach is this. The 70-week of Daniel is broke up in two parts, and I agree. Tribulation and great tribulation. I agree. The Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation will stand in the temple and declare himself to be God. I agree. But I do not believe there's a rapture in the middle. Now, they say the two witnesses represent the church. But that, I'll show you in a little while, that can't be true because those two witnesses are going to die and lay on the street of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. Am I right, Chad? Then thirdly, thirdly, I said third, go to fourth. Okay, I'll come back to third. Thirdly, is the partial rapture. Well, now here's what this means. It means believers will be raptured at different times just before and during the tribulation based upon their spirituality and faithfulness.
Wow.
Now, what that means is if you're a carnal Christian, and the Lord comes right now, you're left. And the spiritual Christians go up. That's what they believe. And they use verses like, you had to look for him to come. If you're not looking for him to come, then you're a carnal Christian, you're not spiritual, and you're not going to go. That's a partial rapture. They believe some will go up pre. They believe some will wait until halfway. Then they believe some will be raptured 3/4 away. Then some will be raptured at the end. You say, where do they get this stuff? Some brilliant somebody writes a book and gullible people believe it. Am I preaching? Y'all still with me? I'm sure right now you're saying, I got questions. Well, stay with me. There's another one. Called pre-wrath rapture. Whew. Hold on. The rapture occurs after the midpoint of the 7 years of tribulation, but before the great day of God's wrath, which is more terrible, a more terrible time of God's judgment. Here's what they believe. They believe the church goes through the wrath of man. They say that's the first 3.5 years. Then it goes through the wrath of Satan. That's the next 21 months. And then they say the wrath of God is the last 21 months. And that's the part, that's when the church is raptured. Pre-wrath. How many of y'all think some of that's goofy? Well, I can start naming names if you'd like. But I'd get so much hate mail before this week's out, I don't know if I can really take it or not. Now, go back to number 3. I'm sorry, I'm jumping you back and forth. Go to number 3, pre-tribulation. Pre-tribulation, the rapture of believers occurs before the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. Amen? Now, I'm going to explain every one of those and tell you why they're wrong. Can I start? I want you to know what? You might be in here and say, well, I run around with a mirror. I want to know if they're right. I run around with somebody who believes that post-tribulation rapture, and they confuse me. Well, I'm going to show you why you don't have to be confused. Then I'll show you what we believe. If I don't get what we believe tonight, all of it, stay with me. I'll do it next time. All right, let's go back to that partial rapture. That means the only people leaving is for you that are spiritual and not carnal, and you're looking for Christ. That's the only one leaves. But the rest of you, you're going to be left behind. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to prove this with one verse here in a minute, but I'm going to give you the reasons why. I'm going to prove it with one verse that it's wrong, the partial rapture. And it's found in, you heard me read it, in 1 Corinthians. How many of y'all ever read the book of Corinthians? Raise your hand. How many of y'all know that was a carnal church? They were messed up. You ain't got time for me to name their sins. But look what Paul said. I'm not going to say what I said. I'm gonna say, look at what Paul said. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all what? But we shall all what? All be changed. You know, what's all mean? All means like all of us that are saved are going up. It's just like, oh, God wills all men to be saved. I don't know how Calvinists believe some are elected to hell and some to heaven, but all's all the time. Am I preaching? Now, Jay, this is, I want all, if I'm over your head, please stay with me. All right, now let me give you four problems of this belief. I'm going to go quickly. Number one, the translation or the rapture and the resurrection are a part of believers' salvation, not a reward for faithfulness. The reward for faithfulness will be given crowns at the judgment seat of Christ. But the reward of your salvation is your salvation being finished with the redemption of your body. Whether you're a spiritual Christian or a carnal Christian, you're going up at the rapture. Secondly, the scriptures plainly teach that all believers, and I just said it, will be in the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15:31. Also, Paul asserts that God has not appointed believers unto wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Now, I know some people say the first part is not the wrath of God. I disagree with that. I believe the whole kit and caboodle is the wrath of God. I just believe it gets worse as it goes. Because he says in Revelation 5, right after, who opened the seals? Man didn't bring it on. Man didn't bring this on. Jesus opens the seals, and the seals are open. And at the end of the fifth or sixth seal, you know what it says? And the great day of his wrath is coming. Who shall stand? And we still got seven trumpets and seven bowls of judgment. When I go in Revelation in about a month, you'll understand all that. Y'all still with me? Number four, this is real goofy. This view divides the body of Christ. That means that, really what that means is, if that's true, then the body's divided. When he comes for the body at the rapture, he ain't taking all the body. How ridiculous is that? I might be a worthless Christian sometimes, and I am. None of us are 100% spiritual all the time. But I want you to know, I got the earnest of the expectation and the Holy Ghost in me. And when he comes after him, he's taking me out. All right. Y'all with me? I'm hurrying. I don't want to hurry, but I am. Let's talk about this mid thing. Mid-tribulation view. Or the rapture happens halfway through. What problems do you see with that? I'm glad you asked. Because the mid-tribulation and the partial rapture view, the mid-tribulation, there's four problems with it. Number one, it is impossible to espouse a mid-tribulation view of the rapture and hold to the concept of an imminent return. How many heard the scripture over in Titus, looking for that blessed hope? The blessed hope is the rapture. So if you don't believe in the pre-trib, you don't believe in an imminent return. I believe he can come now. You ought to get ready now, because he can come now. But if you believe me, it's not imminent. Y'all with me? I'm just trying to help you. Number two, boy, this is important. Make a note somewhere you're here. The last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15 and the seventh trumpet in Revelation are not identical. The last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15 is the same as the 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and signals the completion of the believer's salvation as he meets the Lord. The seventh trumpet is the one in a series of announcing divine judgment on this earth. By the way, Chad, there's even a later trumpet than the seventh trumpet when the Lord sounds the trumpet and comes and get the Jews and also the sheep nations. If you read Matthew 24. You know, I know some of that's up here. Hang in there. So, then they say this. They said, well, the first half is what man brings and Satan brings, and we will escape only the second half, the wrath of the Lamb. Amen. Not true. And then they believe the two witnesses of Revelation 11 cannot is the church, and I say they cannot be the church. The witnesses are literally killed and lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. So, amen? Now, pre-wrath. Well, this one. By the way, I want all y'all to know about pre-wrath so I can give this to you. Pre-wrath, is very new kid on the block. Its origin was 1990 with a man named Rovendahl or something like that. Wrote that book, Pre-Wrath, and see, you know, the Steven Andersons and that bunch, you know, they grab a hold of it. And by the way, if you listen to him, you really don't need to be left alone by yourself. He hates the Jews. He hates everything. He hates us. He's the founder of the New Fundamental Movement. I guess that's what he calls it. I think he's kook. Well, anyway, I'm telling it, I can't help it. This view totally destroys the doctrine of intimacy or intimate return. I mean, he says there can't be an intimate, imminent return because that's unattainable. He's wrong. It says looking for our blessed hope. It can happen any time. Now here's your problem. His rapture, 21 months from the end, he can't explain where the church is going to be. Hello? He has no clue. Read his book. Has no clue. Well, I know where the church is going to be. We're going to be with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
We'll be in heaven.
Amen.
Waiting to come back.
Amen.
Am I preaching?
Amen.
See, I'll tell you what's wrong with that bunch. They do not teach the Bible line upon line and precept upon precept. They do not believe in a dispensational teaching. They do not believe in the literal interpretation of Scripture. And that's why they're harebrained. And by the way, for you folk in the room, the day of the Lord is clearly more than 21 months. It covers the judgments of the tribulation and the blessings of the millennial. The day of the Lord. Amen. Then the judgments in the first half of the tribulation are clearly defined judgments because Christ opens the seals. Am I preaching? And then the other one, and I'll finish with this because I want to give you something about the rapture. Lord have mercy. The real truth. Then I'll really hit it on next week. There's four problems with post-tribulation. Now, post-tribulation, what a crazy belief, Allison. Believes that we go through the tribulation. The Bible says that we haven't been appointed to wrath. The Bible said when the Holy Ghost comes, we shall be saved from wrath to come. Right, church? But they believe we go through all the wrath. Somebody ought to help me here. We're not going to go through 1 minute of the 7 years of tribulation. Not 1 second. Amen. Now, I want y'all to know this. I'm going to say this real quickly. I'll be done. Oh, I don't want to finish. A lot of people post, I don't know if you know this, Chad, but you probably do. Post-tribulation is supposed to be the oldest of all of them. Supposed to be. But it's not. They say that they didn't get pre-tribulation rapture until 1830. Well, I got a little problem. There was then, for example, Pseudo Ephraim in his sermon on the end of the world wrote before AD 627 that all saints of God are gathered before the tribulation period. And Mal Couch's Dictionary Premillennial Theology 329 mentions the rapture of the church. Are y'all with me? Now, age is not the issue. Truth is the issue. Now, let me say this because we're at the end. And here's what I hate about teaching is that we're at the end of tonight. But I got to leave you with the truth. Truth is, do me a favor. Go read the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. And I think it's in chapter 1 and verse 19 is the outline. Is that right? 18 or 19. Write the things which are, the things which thou hast seen. That's the glorified Christ, Revelation 1. The things which are, that's the seven churches of Asia. And the things which shall be hereafter. Revelation 4:1 says this. As a voice and a trump. And he was told to come up hither. And then they was given crowns. Who gets crowns? And then they was given white robes. Who gets white robes? Because read Revelation 19:7, the white robes are the righteousness of the saints. Now, I'll give you all the belief of the premillennial next time. But I wanted to try to show you why there's so much confusion today. You know why there's confusion? There's a lot of people that will not take the time your preacher is taking. And they don't read their Bible. And they don't study their Bible. And they end up with false doctrine. Now, you may be in this room and say, I don't understand everything you said. That's okay. That's why repetition will be good. Because what I'm going to do is, as soon as I finish this little short series, then I'm going to take you on Wednesday night through the book, whole book of Revelation, and tie it all together. And hopefully, you'll be soundly where you ought to be. Amen? Bow your head with me. Be sure to share this with folks, if you would. Here's bow and eyes closed. Here's my question. How many of you know that you know that you know you're 100% that you know that if the Lord would come tonight, you're ready? Raise your hand if you're ready. Hold them up high. Thank you. Anybody here not ready? Say, preacher, I'm not ready. It scares me to death. Won't you slip your hand up now and just say, pray for me. I am not ready. I don't know for sure I'm saved. I think all of you are. Maybe you could be closer to God. You maybe want to pray about that. But with this is teaching. I hope it's helping you. We'll get deeper into it next week. Stand, let me pray. We'll have a verse of altar call and then be dismissed. Lord, I help right now. Maybe there's a struggling Christian. Maybe there's a Christian that's having issues and problems. They need to get closer to God. Help them tonight as we come. And as they may come tonight, in Jesus' name, amen.